Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Match Ball Podcast from us, the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. Michael Normans is with me.
Hello.
As is Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
And this is the episode for post Barnsley, the 2-0 victory at Oakwell, and Leeds United, lads, are top of the league.
We told you it'd be easy.
It wasn't that easy, was it? But it came good in the end. Bit of a scrap.
So easy and comfortable. I knew we would win or potentially lose to a last minute shithouse goal. But we didn't. We did just about deserve it. They were decent though, actually. All credit to them. They made us. They put us under quite a bit of pressure, and we were forced to play long a bit more than we have the rest of the season.
Is it not just that they were running round a lot and closing down a lot and making us run round a little bit more and disrupting our game? I don't think they were good. I just thought they just disrupted us quite well.
But you know, that's part of it. We're a better team than them. We've got better players. It's what they needed to aim to do was just to disrupt us and hope to score. And it, you know, in fairness to them, it was not a million miles off away from working.
Marcelo Bielsa said it was a beautiful match and that Barnsley epitomised what a good division the Championship is. Congratulated Daniel Stendahl and his players.
He was getting very cross on the touchline at one point. I noticed Barnsley's manager, I think there was a ball that he thought hadn't gone out for a throw-in and he was absolutely furious about it.
Do you think you can understand why Joey Barton allegedly twatted him?
Allegedly. Bielsa wouldn't do that, would he?
No, he'd get somebody else to do it.
Could you imagine how apologetic he would be if he did lose his shit and actually twat someone? It'd gone for years, wouldn't it, that? Years. Did you think it was a beautiful match then, Moscow?
It was one for the neutrals to enjoy, probably, but one for a Leeds fan to sort of sit and tensely fret all the way through. Yeah, it was too good. I didn't want a good game. I wanted us to be 4-0 up in the first half an hour and then just grind out an easy 10-0.
Well, why weren't we 4-0 up in the first half hour? What didn't we do? What did Barnsley do to stop us getting that?
They just really closed us down very, very quickly all over the pitch, and it pretty much worked. And I thought Shackleton did well, but not having Forshaw in the team changed the shape of midfield a little bit, which I don't know if that threw us off. It meant I thought Phillips was playing a lot deeper than he has been. Normally him and Forshaw exchange positions a bit through the game when one of them goes forward, where it seemed like Bielsa had maybe said to him, look, Shackleton's in the team, just let him do the going forward bit. You just constantly sit in front of the defence and do your thing there.
I think he had to go back as well to help White and Cooper and Kassia out when Wilkes and his mate were sprinting at them full pelt as well. So he was kind of reduced to go back. He's doing a lot of long balls, sort of penalty area to penalty area, looking straight for Bamford rather than going through. But Shackleton was good in midfield, good at just taking the ball and running with it, which is a little bit more. Forshaw tends to sort of pause with it and see what's up, where Shackleton will just take it on the run and drive forward.
In spite of them closing us down quite a lot, as you just pointed out, Michael, I thought we passed it quite well under the pressure, or at least we tried, and Bielsa's all about taking risks, isn't he? And I thought we took risks. It didn't always work. We did lose possession quite a lot, but it was nice to see us trying to pass out of it and doing what Bielsa likes to do, which is the vertical passes.
And we're still in a game that, in a half anyway, that we're saying we were closed down well. We still created two chances we should have scored, which is the one where it was cut back from Harrison, cut it back to Pablo from about 12 yards out and he completely mishit his shot. You would normally expect Pablo to score that or at the very least get it on target. And then the Harrison one where it came across on the corner. And again, it was more or less a tap in from about 6 yards.
What happened there? Because I was convinced, because I was watching it on the red button or trying to anyway, Sky, so no replays. I didn't see anything after that. I just kind of saw him hit it and it not go in.
Yeah, it kind of just went through everyone on the corner, came to him at the back post, and he just hit it off the outside of the post when he should have just, you know,
put it in,
put it in the net. Yeah.
The other thing about that closing us down that I noticed, I've got a slight confidence this year, or a growing confidence anyway, where you think they can't keep this up. And as the game starts to get stretched later on, maybe we will get the chance. And it's easy for me to say that with the benefit of hindsight, obviously, but I always had that confidence that they can't be this relentless for 90 minutes.
It's that thing as well of knowing we've got Nketiah and Costa on the bench, and if they are starting to get tired, they're probably the two fastest players we've had in about the last 10 years. Well, certainly that are fast and also reasonable footballers.
It was always there. It was because they were pressing so high, those big gaps behind them.
Massive
always
gaps.
Ready to exploit. Yeah, so even from the first 10 minutes, you were thinking, get Costa on. Bit early to make a change, admittedly, but you could picture him racing off into the unguarded grass.
With Harrison off at halftime, is this the start of Costa's introduction to the team, do you think?
Yeah, probably.
You have to fancy it, don't you?
Yeah, he's looked better than Harrison. This isn't a criticism of Harrison, but he's looked better than him every time he's come on, I would say. Let's just start him, eh?
Do you think he changed the game today?
Not probably as much as Nketiah. But it's hard to say, because I thought Bamford was actually playing very well as well. It's not a criticism of him. I thought he did well, and he obviously did score, but that was ruled out for offside. I'm not completely convinced by it. Again, I've not seen a replay of it since.
None of the replays really had the angle, but they reckoned it was Costa taking the pass from Alioski. Otherwise, it was very nearly a classic 91-92 Lukic Dorigo speed Chapman effort. It was just that one little detail where it seemed to go wrong.
I liked Costa today. I thought he was offered something else, like you say. And this is the nice thing, actually, just to touch on what you said then, Michael. We can say that the players that came on changed the game in a positive way, and it doesn't have to now be a negative reflection on the players that went off. It's no longer a case of, he's shit, get him off, get somebody better on, because actually, Bamford was good.
He did really well. Yeah. I thought he didn't get an awful lot from the referee either. It's sort of like Halmer seems to be throwing him about the place a bit. There was also a great moment where him and Halmer got into a little argument, and it became clear that neither of them actually wanted a fight. Within about a second of them squaring up to each other, they sort of went, yeah, oh, well. Mm.
Just left it to the stewards of the stands, did they?
I think Almay wanted a fight. I think he was well up for knocking Bamford all over the park. I'd expected Wilkes was definitely up for it against us. Mowat was a bit quiet, but then Almay was kind of the surprise one, where he's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to bully Bamford all day. And Bamford's movement and his intelligence and his... that side of things was really good, but not being able to get anything out of the referee whenever he went up against Halmay did kind of restrict what he was able to do, especially when, because there was the high press from Barnsley, we were trying to get those long balls over the top to him, and he couldn't really get much out of Halmay, which held us back a little bit.
And the referee, one of our big friends, Keith Stroud. So any surprise that he didn't get any change from him?
He gave us a penalty. Give him credit where it's due.
No, Liner give that, I think.
Well, Keith could have overruled him.
There was no way he couldn't have, because after Halmy had done so well, you wouldn't have seen a replay of it, will you, the penalty?
I've seen it from a couple of angles. Okay. From the first angle, it looked like he doesn't touch him, but then the other angle, it looks fairly clear that he does.
He fully coopers him. It was like watching Liam Cooper sort of in his first season at Leeds. Because after Halmy had sort of done so well keeping Bamford kind of as under control as he had, Bamford still had very good chances getting away from him. It showed what bringing on a different player in Nketiah could give us, because, you know, he just turned round, didn't know he was there, and then was kicking him up the arse, basically. And it was a penalty all day long.
Nketiah and Halmy operate on very different pace settings, it's fair to say. Halmer, the turning speed of Halmer as well, he got completely caught out by him, didn't he? It was glorious.
And the height difference is quite an air pressure difference there as well, isn't there, between the two of them? But in fairness, you look at Bamford sort of ground him down, Halmer, a little bit, having, like you say, contended with that all game, to then do that switcheroo and then put Nketiah on, who's a completely different kettle of fish. It's almost what you might term good management.
Yeah, you knack Halmer out, scrapping with Bamford all day, and then you bring on a really fast player that he has absolutely no hope of containing whatsoever. Kind of dangled the possibility that he might get the upper hand against Patrick in front of him, and then, you did your best, that's all over now.
Here's Nketiah, and you can't keep track of him whatsoever.
No.
Because for the goal, he didn't have anyone within about 5 yards of him, just tapped it in from a yard out. And then again for the penalty, he seemed to be completely surprised by his presence. And all he could do was just kick him as he ran past.
Which does seem to be a knack that Nketiah has that Bamford doesn't. Because we said that this seems like it's the game when Costa should now take over from Harrison. And although Bielsa is praising Bamford after the game, and we are, and he did play genuinely very well, I do wonder if just that player who just has the ability to just not be marked and score might be really helpful from the start.
But the flip side of that is that Bamford puts the running in, you know, wears them down for Nketiah.
Might not have to if we've scored after 5 minutes. Just
that's true.
He just finds the space and scores. It does seem, and we don't know yet, we've not seen an answer really for, I suppose he did it for the England under-21s. He scored after about 20 seconds, didn't he? So every time he comes on, he seems to just do what we've been wanting any player. It's not just Bamford. We want somebody to just find the space and put the ball in the net. And he seems to do it within minutes every time he comes on. So it could be that if he starts a game, he just does exactly the opposite and gets to 90 minutes and we're having to take him off and bring somebody on to score. But
he just scores from all his goals are from in the 6 yard box.
Fine.
Well, it's just him in, like say, in exactly the right place.
But that's a lot of what Bielsa's football's about, isn't it? Getting it into that unmissable position in the area.
Yeah, just nudge it in.
He just looks a little bit better suited to that game than Bamford, who is working hard and doing a lot of his stuff outside the box and trying to get on the end of things, whereas it just looks a bit less like hard work for Nketiah.
Yeah, we look a lot more dangerous with Costa and Nketiah on the pitch. I think that's probably the fairest thing to say. And again, it is no criticism of the other players who are there because they're perfectly able players and done well. But yeah, I think they did transform the game. Nketiah saw a stat on Twitter, goal every 62 minutes for Leeds now.
That's all right, isn't it? That's fine. We'll deal with that for the rest of the season.
1.5 goals per game. So if he wants to score 1.5 goals on Saturday, I'm right behind him doing that.
We deserve a good loanee. It's long overdue, is that just having every year there's a good Premier League striker comes and scores 20 goals in this league, and it's always for someone else. And we always end up with some shit house.
And it's not that long since it was Bamford. Was he player of the year for Forest when they went up? Well, they didn't go up. But was it? He was player of the year for somebody.
He's been to so many clubs.
In this division while he was on loan from Chelsea. So he's sort of done his loaney thing.
He got Championship Player of the Year, did Bamford?
That's I'm trying to think of, but I can't remember who it was for.
It was Borough, It was Borough.
But buying him isn't what we're after. We should have just loaned him. Loan everybody else.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been able to play, would he?
Put him in goal. I don't know. Yeah, 7 loans would be a bit too much.
I thought, Nketiah really, really good and could have maybe had another one. And he just looks the business, I think, at the minute.
But on the negative side, I thought Pablo, not great again.
But I want to just caveat that by saying we've seen this before. Pablo does sometimes have these off games that he just can't get into, or games that don't flow right for him, because it was very, very quick today, wasn't it? And Pablo, I'm not saying he's slow or he needs a second, but maybe it just wasn't one of those games that was suited to him because of the speed of the closing down and the movement wasn't quite there. But this is the beautiful thing about having Costa and Nketiah and the other options. It's rather than relying on him completely and him having an off day like today, it's fine. We've got other players.
Other players is a fair point.
It is, but not if they're not playing. We can only have 11 on the pitch at once. So if one of them's not having a good day, it's fair to say he didn't play very well and it would have been better with somebody else.
And that's pretty much what Bielsa thought. Half-time sub, what do you make of that? I know it always feels a little bit cruel to substitute a young man at half-time, or even earlier in the case of Calvin Phillips last year, but
it wasn't a problem with Harrison last season. It was Clark every game for about 2 months, wasn't it? So he seems to be just a little bit like what we're saying about Bamford, is he starts and then it's quite an early mark when it's like, right, you've had your go and now it's going to be somebody else. And it was Clark last season, would come on for Harrison at halftime and every game would look much more exciting. And now he's got the same thing with Costa. And you do wonder whether it might be better for Harrison to just not play at all. Like I said before, I don't have any particular problems with Harrison. You look at the way Costa played when he came on, and just having that extra little bit of pace
Do you think
makes
that's
a big
it?
Difference.
The pace, the trick, what is it?
I think it's pace. Yeah, I think we're very we're trying to beat teams one way all the time, or get past players one way, and just having somebody who can just streak away from a defender and get onto the ball. And Coslow, the disallowed goal was the perfect example. Harrison, I don't think, gets on the end of that the way that Costa does. Maybe he stays onside, so it's allowed, but that we just don't have that speed of going from back to front.
I was just going to say, Costa has a knack for playing that exact ball. He's done it in every game he's come on, just a little, almost a trickled ball across the goal line, pretty much, just that if anyone is there, it's in. There's no missing it from there.
And Bamford finished it. Like, if it's a marginal offside, there was absolutely nothing wrong with Bamford's finish for that as well. So it's maybe part of Bamford suffering through the first halves of games is that Harrison is aiming crosses everywhere but at his feet. Whereas if the ball is just going to go Costa straight to his toe, then Nketiah doesn't get off the bench because Bamford's got a first half hat trick with three assists from Costa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A word then about Click and his penalty. Moscow, you were advocating for him on penalties ages ago, mm-hmm. Even to the extent that you did what?
I made a highlights video of his successful penalties.
You made a video highlights reel of a player.
I wasn't able to get any footage from training of him popping them past Bailey Peacock Farrell on the regular, but I'm sure that was happening. We were saying, who missed at the end of last season that prompted me to make that? Was it Hernandez again?
Hernandez, Roof, a few of them did, didn't they?
Yeah, and I...
him and Bamford both missed one at the end of last season.
I ended up cracking and just... because, I'd seen him... fond memories of his penalty against Burnley in the, and how he said UEFA Cup, Carabao Cup, and then scoring loads for Twente and Poland and all his clubs. He's always just, he's very good at just rolling the ball to where the goalkeeper isn't.
He's a good penalty taker, I think, is about the long and short of it.
And nice thing is that he's able to be a bit of a shithouse even when taking a penalty. He's a very cocky, upsetting penalty to have scored against you, is that? And the way he ran sort of into the goal with his arms outstretched, was laughing as he did it.
There was a moment before he took it when I think somebody tried to take it off him because I saw a distinct sort of Bamford-esque tantrum and a bit of a, oh, for fuck's sake, I was going to take this one. But then he lined up, he put the ball down. So I wonder if it was maybe Nketiah being the young upstart who'd won it. But he pulled rank. He's like, oh no, it's the child. I can do this. You, fuck off. Pablo's never let me do this.
And you talk there about shithousing. They really don't like us. So we have to factor this into our chat now and just say how joyous it is to put Barnsley back in their box for another season. For now, well, until the home game anyway.
Did you notice before the game, they seem to have like, I don't know if they do this for every match, but they seem to have the Lord Mayor on the pitch. There's someone in like the big gown and the chain and everything. It was cup final day for them.
Well, it is when Leeds come to town. It's a big day of ceremony, isn't it?
There were some men on the pitch taking selfies with Liam Cooper, which seemed very unprofessional.
It was too polite to just say, I'm busy. I'm fucking working here. But there was a big old squad of people having the photographs taken. Very weird.
Did we get to the bottom of what exactly was happening in the Barnsley end when it seemed like a few blows were being exchanged? There was talk of a steward, wasn't there?
I think there was a steward who was in front of the Leeds fans who I think had thrown someone out and was then being a bit cocky and goading Leeds fans. And then the steward got thrown out by other stewards, yes, by all accounts.
Apparently, well, the Leeds
an act of cannibalism.
Had told him to calm it down, but he didn't listen and ended up... got taken away before we could start anything.
Because it's a bit unfair, isn't it? Like, you know, the Barnsley fans piling into the Leeds fans when they're in there, and because I've got a one-finger advantage on each hand. Hey, there we go. You like that? But it will have ruined their Sunday, and I'm all for it.
To be fair to Barnsley and their shithousing on the pitch, though, and we were talking about Halme being up against Bamford and such, I've just looked up the stats. That's the fewest number of completed passes we've made in the game, 384, and the lowest percentage, 77% of our passes completed, which is the first time in any game this season we've completed less than 80% of the passes that we've tried. So they did do pretty well against us, and I don't think a lot of that was, Mowat's not a very tigerish player, but Wilkes was leading from the front and was definitely up for it, and we've already talked about how much Halme seemed to want a piece of Bamford. So they can, as they cry into their Toby Tyke pillowcases this evening, they can be a little bit proud of losing 2-0.
So well done, you gave it a go against the big boys.
Yeah, they played incredibly well, probably as well as they could really hope to play, and we beat them 2-0.
Because they're terrible. They are terrible.
Or is it just because we're really good, and so that we can have probably one of our worst. I mean, 77% passes completed. It's our worst performance of the season in possession, and still end up getting that 2-0 win.
Well, the bottom end of the Championship, Stoke at the bottom with 1 point. Huddersfield, bless them, they're giving it a good go, trying to stay up. Wish them well. Barnsley, Wigan, Hull, Derby down there. I mean, I don't want to start getting too cocky regarding Derby because we've got them at the weekend. However,
they looked awful against Cardiff.
Cardiff
on Friday.
Looked awful as well.
It was bloody dreadful, that game. I was trying to watch it, and I think in the second half kicked off, and then I kind of just looked at something on my phone, and then I looked up, and it was the 89th minute. I was like, oh, really? Have I just wasted 45 minutes of my life?
The Championship's a bad division. It's not a good, high-quality division.
Did you not enjoy watching people throw a ball at the head of Aidan Flint for a full half of football? I only watched the second half, but that was basically all that was happening. Cardiff got a throw-in, and they threw it at a big man.
My favourite part of that was how long it takes them to throw it every time. It's the build-up. It's like watching NFL. But the heartening thing about that with us playing Derby next was Derby were trying to pass the ball about at the back and they just can't do it. They're not good enough. So it was Cardiff didn't press anything like as well as Barnsley did against us today, and we're just getting the ball off them and trying to score. But again, they couldn't because they're not very good either. 1-1.
A word, if we could, about Kiko Casilla, who I thought had a very good game today.
He did. He only once tried to take on their striker as well. I think Wilkes was closing him down and he was very, very calm. But yeah, a couple of good saves. I'm learning to live with him. I think we know what he's about now, and it's been fine this season.
Yeah, the lunacy seems to have dissipated a bit. I know that all keepers have always got it in them, and he clearly has, but so far so good.
The thing is, there will be another fuck-up, but goalkeepers make him across the season. If he does one every 15 games, that's absolutely fine. You can get away with that.
And clean sheets and the number of goals we've actually conceded, I think we're probably among the best in the division, aren't we? Have we got the best goals against?
We're +9 in the division, aren't we? Goal difference, which is the best in the division.
We are the best in the league.
And a lot of his, and if he does give something away, it's because he's trying to play out from the back, which is entirely what our system is built on. So, you know, you've got to have a keeper doing that, otherwise the whole thing doesn't work. Mm. And it's better than Bailey Peacock Farrell.
Well, I don't know how Bailey would have stood up against the pressure that Wilkes and co were putting on Casilla today, and there were at least two shots from distance at the goal that he would have let in, so because he wouldn't have dived for them. That's the simple thing. There was a bit of comment on one of Casilla's saves where it's like, well, was that a bit of a Hollywood dive? Did he need to dive that far? It's like, well, at least he fucking dived. It's the thing.
And before the ball got to the goal as well, because Peacock Farrell sometimes used to do it after the ball was nestling in the back of the net. He'd kind of throw an arm in the air.
You mean the old bollocks dive?
Yes.
But I thought it was great, and that save in particular was good in the second half, because that looked like a dead cert at that.
Well, it tipped over the bar.
There was the one he tipped over the bar. I think the one that he got, he saved, would he quite low down?
No, I know the one you mean, yes. No, he's good. He's a good goalkeeper. Maybe we're just seeing it now.
And he, you know, he needed to get into the groove. That's what he said after the Derby match. He said, yep, this has all been a bit too much too soon for me, especially after he'd been sat on his ass for Real Madrid for however long getting into games.
So it's Derby next, so let's see if the nightmare can recur.
No Frank Lampard, though, so...
I mean, speaking of Derby, actually, this squad we've got now with good players on the bench to bring on, it's not exactly a trick, but just having some good players is helping us at the moment. Because other teams have gone up doing that, just having good players on the bench who they can bring on to change games. And we've never really experimented with that in the past. We've just had kids and shithouses on the bench.
It was Izzy Brown came on in the final moments last May.
Yeah, but you know, in other seasons, teams have brought players on and you've thought, oh, I know them, they're quite good.
Mm.
This feels almost like cheating that they're bringing on good substitutes.
Well, noticed Arsenal retweeting Nketiah's goal again, so it's like we have the attention of North London upon us as well. So
can they ask for him back in January?
No.
Good.
I think it's one of those all parties would have to agree.
And we will refuse.
Yeah. I think Spurs can ask for Jack Clark back and they might get a more positive answer, but who's he anyway?
Oh, well, we're seven games into the season now and no significant injuries. Can we underestimate the importance of that compared to last season?
I heard that Adam Forshaw is currently at St. James's having all his ribs removed.
What, like Prince?
Yes. Oh, no, it was a hip injury, isn't it? Is it his hip or his ribs? Something. Anyway, it's far more serious than it was.
Well, it's Shakira. Hips don't lie. That's what it is.
Okay, so he's him and PK are looking after each other. And but yeah, that's fine. Luke, like Tyler Roberts back on the bench today. Luke Ayling's supposed to play for the under-23s. If we can get Jordan Stevens back from his ban and Adam Forshaw all right, then we have a fully fit squad.
Imagine that.
It won't last.
Imagine that. Right then, so heroes and villains from today's game. Any early candidates for our awards later this week on the other podcast?
So it's a left field nomination, but Barnsley's number 12. He came off the bench and I've never seen such thighs in my life.
Is that hero or villain?
I don't know. I just feel he doesn't fit into any category, but he just needs mentioning. I was absolutely mesmerised by the man.
Yeboah-esque?
I'd say they were bigger. And he seemed to have like some child size shorts on as well, and he was absolutely bulging out of them. At one point, he was visibly wrestling them down because they'd ridden up his legs. Just unbelievable.
You're talking in heroic terms there, so I mean,
yeah, there were Yeboah would have been proud of them, and they were baggier shorts in his day. Yeah. But remarkable things.
Well, I am pleased. Well, that one's noted. Maybe we'll refine that into one of the two available categories for later in the week. But it feels like quite an outside nomination for a hero when we've got like Nketiah.
It's just on my mind. Yeah. Just needs mentioning. Thought at one point he might burst the ball between his legs just to demonstrate his strength. But Nketiah, I suppose, you know, coming on scoring goals, that's nice, isn't it? Jesus Christ.
Oh, Moscow's just
found a photo of Tiam's. Tiam's TIs.
I mean, that is a bloody hell fire.
They wouldn't look out of place on a rhino, those things.
There's the man in full.
He has got a big thigh.
Mamadou Tiam.
Mm. Anyway, that's we've hit a cul-de-sac with that one. Let's beep, beep, beep and reverse right out of this one. Who else for heroes and villains?
Yeah.
Nketiah does feel a little bit like it's sticking twos up at Bamford, but we have to sort of separate the two things out. And maybe Bamford does deserve it because his little paddy when he came off the pitch.
Oh, did he have a bit of a strop? I mean, Bielsa, we've seen the video clip for the week of Bielsa saying he won't tolerate such stuff.
I think he was cross about the offside decision still, wasn't he, for his goal?
It was hard to tell what his thing was, but he was kind of flinging his arms around
I can't believe I've been forced to leave this game without a goal. And he's got a fair point.
He has, but, and so it's difficult then to not make nominating Nketiah as a hero any kind of criticism of Bamford, but he scored the goal and won the penalty. So, and Click can have a nomination as well for scoring the penalty too. Overdue. If only we'd have had that last season.
The reason why the word nonchalant was invented. And what about any villains then? Any
the Barnsley steward?
Mm-hmm.
He was not one of the regular ones either. He was one of the ones who has to have the badge on his arm, like he's a nightclub doorman during the week. One of those ones. Just go back to.
He's normally throwing teenagers downstairs.
Exactly. Yeah. Just go back to. Hitting people and drunk people in the face.
When CCTV's not looking.
Exactly. It gets lost sometimes, I believe, in those situations.
And Apo Halme. never thought we'd see the day, but his unnecessarily violent manhandling of Pat Bamford.
But Bamford drew blood.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
From how long? Did he burst? Did he? Was it his nose or his lip that was bleeding? There was quite a bit of blood anyway.
Couldn't tell, but he had to take his shorts off. That's how much blood there was.
Hemorrhaging from every orifice he was after what Bamford did to him.
So maybe he's been punished enough, but I think that moment when they went face to face was maybe Jaume's pinnacle, where he's like, yeah, I'm really showing him. And then he just went and gave the penalty away and looked like a dickhead in the end. But he seemed like such a nice young man when he came to Leeds. I don't know why he suddenly launched into this match. It seemed to be part of Barnsley's tactics was, because Halmy's not played many games. Wilkes and Mowat start everyone when they're fit. But it's like, yeah, just get all the ex-Leeds players on the pitch and go at us 100 miles an hour and then hope for the best, which it worked pretty well for them, but still villainous.
Okay, well, we'll catch up with the heroes and villains when we do the main podcast in another couple of days. Overall, then, how we're feeling generally, I felt it was a pretty good win, and off the back of the international break, when we've been made to stew on that Swansea defeat for a bit.
They lost this week, didn't they? That was a shame.
They did. They dominated the game against Nottingham Forest and let in a very late winner.
Was it that Forest found some obvious weaknesses to exploit? Is that what happened?
I think that was probably what's happened, yeah.
And Swansea's manager, I mean, I bet he had a bit of a glum face. I mean... on face after that one, I was going to say he's got one anyway, but
yeah, these things happen. Mr. No, Potter,
we don't want to start crowing too much.
Cooper, it's Cooper now.
It is, of course it is, yes. I'm trying to put that face out of my mind.
I was just going to say we've got a long way to go yet, so let's not start crowing too much about it. Actually, let's.
But we are top of the league.
Yeah, we're
going up.
Yeah, absolutely going up. And championship, should we just book the bus now or?
Yeah.
It does feel good coming out after the... the international break, this did have that kind of that banana skin cliche written all over it. Did we draw with Millwall after the first international break last year, and it took us just that while? There was a bit of a hangover, and the way that the first half was going, and you know, scrapping, no goals. So it does feel good to get to full time and 2-0. I would have been happy with 1-0, but 2 just made it
beautiful. What I will say is, something you've just made me think of them, Moscow. They came out of the blocks at us 100 miles an hour, but we matched them. And in the past, we haven't matched teams that have done that with us. We've looked a little bit flat-footed sometimes, so maybe we have evolved.
It was only Barnsley.
That's true.
Go as fast as they want, you know.
But, you know, we can mix it. Different styles, and we're all right. That's the thing. In other seasons, we've been able to do all right against a certain type of team, but not others, whereas this time, people have pressed us, people have sat back. And other than Swansea being a set of spawny bastards, it's going pretty well.
And finally, Michael, how much money did you lose today on the old...
£5. Yep. Lost £5. It would have cost me more, but I couldn't get signal when I was watching it. So I would have probably backed the draw when we went a goal up, but I wasn't able to.
7-1 you'd have got on that.
Would I?
7-1 on Barnsley at that
point. I'd have definitely put a fiver on it then. So yeah, five are down this week, but it's good. £5, 3 points.
Yep.
Happy with that.
If that's all it costs for every 3 points, then that's fine.
Cheap, very cheap.
Absolutely. Well, bless Barnsley for trying. You gave it a good go. And we'll see you later on in the season, shall we? Thanks for listening to this episode of The Match Ball. We'll speak to you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.